Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to jump right back in where we left off this morning. Matthew 5, 38 to 42. Once you find your place, would you stand with me? We're going to pray and read God's word together this afternoon. Thank God for his amazing love. And I appreciate Brother Tom speaking up, sharing his testimony, and encouraging others. Listen, we need to have a passion for others to come to faith in Jesus and to be rescued from sin like we've been. So I appreciate that. Brother Mike, will you lead us in a word of prayer before we read?
Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight and give thanks for the opportunity to be here together, to be able to read your word, to have the freedom that we have together, and to be with like-minded believers. Dear Lord, we ask that you help us have a desire to learn more about you, have an understanding of your word, that we can use it and apply it in our lives. Not that we just hear it and ignore it, but that we actually apply it, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we ask that you help us to be the disciples that you would have us to be, and we give thanks for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We ask forgiveness of our sin, and just name we pray.
Amen. While you're still standing, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with them twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Amen. Please be seated. So we tried to look at the true application of the Old Testament. We tried to look at the misinterpretation by the rabbis, and we just got into the correction of the Savior. As we come to the first part, we covered, whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And so you don't resist evil, you don't fight back, you don't retaliate, but rather you take the insult. And then we want to move on to the second part, where he says, if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. The coat here is the Greek chiton, which is the inner garment. So this would have been their main clothes they wore under their outer garments. So this would have been a garment sort of like a really long shirt that they would have worn that was close to the skin. And then the cloak is the himation. It was the outer garment. It was a heavier robe or a mantle. And it was something that they used all the time. It was extremely utilitarian for them, this outer robe. So protected them from the sun during the day and from the cold at night. It was used more like a blanket, you and I might think of like a poncho or something like that. As a matter of fact, Exodus 22, verse 26, gives guidance about it, law about it, as an essential part of survival. Exodus 22, 26, it says, if thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down, for that is his covering only. It is his raiment for his skin. Wherein shall he sleep? And it shall come to pass, when he crieth unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious. So even under the law, like if you took it as a pledge, like somebody's going to borrow something, you take that cloak as a pledge, you had to give it back to them before the sun went down because it's their covering. It's what they're going to sleep with. It's how they're going to stay warm. So Jesus says, though, be willing even to yield what is most essential to you. So this isn't about foolishly losing something, but it's revealing a heart that is open-handed, that is willing to give to everyone else. Luke 6:30, Jesus says, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And it's just a heart that is open-handed, that is generous, that is willing and ready to give. Matthew Henry said, true religion carries us beyond strict justice into a willingness to yield up even our rights for the sake of peace and love. True religion carries us beyond strict justice. You say, well, that's not right. That's not fair. Well, Jesus isn't teaching us to hold on to what's right or fair. Jesus is teaching us to give up our rights, to yield up our rights for peace and for love. And this, guys, this gets to the heart of a Christian, to love other people more than we love ourselves, to be sacrificial and to be giving. So somebody has sued you to take away your coat. And you not only give up your coat, whether you're right or wrong, you give it up and you give him your cloak also, is an incredible picture of love and sacrifice and putting your own self at risk for the good of others. That's the heart of the Christian. The next part he says, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with them twain. This word compel has the idea of what the Romans could do. And under Roman law, it's my understanding that the Roman soldiers could compel anybody within the Roman Empire to carry their stuff for them for up to a mile. In the Roman law, the codex, one of the codexes says that the soldiers had a right to requisition labor. Josephus wrote about it in Antiquities. He talked about not just the Romans, but the Persian couriers compelling men into service. It started with the Persians, continued to the Romans. And so here it is. You got Roman soldiers on a march from one place to another. They could come across you working in your field. You're out there planting your crops, tending your crops, or harvesting your crops. They could come to you and say, hey, you, come here and carry my stuff. And they could make you carry it up to a mile. And you can only imagine how much the Jews hated that. How much they hated. You're in the middle of your day. You're in the middle of your business, taking care of your business. You don't like the Romans anyway. You don't like the fact that they're occupying your land, that they've taken control of your country. And now, not only that, you got to stop what you're doing, trying to provide for your family, and you got to lug their stuff for them for a mile. So this was common practice. Jesus knew that his disciples and the other Jews hated it, and he uses this as an example to say, listen, they can make you go a mile, but what you need to do to show my love is to go the extra mile. And we've all grown up hearing that, right? Go the extra mile. That's exactly what he's saying. So this Roman, who most of them despised, is making you carry his gear, making you carry his pack, maybe his shield, his weapons, whatever. No telling how much weight you had to carry. You had to carry it a mile. Jesus says, you don't stop at the mile. You don't count that mile. You just keep going. And you do it to show the love of God. It was a real sign of how they were beaten down by the Romans. It was their subjugation to the Romans that this they could be compelled to go. But remember Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So there's lots of evil in this world. There are a lot of people who want to take advantage of this world, but you don't retaliate with evil. And that's the whole thing that Jesus is teaching. Don't retaliate. This is really the heart of what Jesus is teaching, overcoming evil with good. Justin Martyr wrote, repay no evil with evil, but give to all who ask and love even our enemies. This is what Christ's heart is. So first, whoever insults you, smites you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Second, whoever sues to take away your coat, give him your cloak also. Three, whoever compels you to go a mile, go the second mile, go the extra mile with them. And then number four, give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Now, we always have to balance truth in Scripture, right? Balance is important. We got to balance justice and mercy, truth and love. All of those things are important. So this isn't reckless enabling of somebody, but it is a readiness to bless. Jesus is teaching that posture of open-handedness, reflecting God's heart. If you guys would, look at 2 Corinthians 9, verses 7 and 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. We actually talked about some of this in our Sunday school class this morning, this idea of the grace to give. God, I believe, enables his people with a new heart. It's not in our nature to be giving. Okay? I told the class this morning, if you don't believe me, just go into a group of toddlers who are playing. Nobody's in there like instructing them. There's no teacher or nursery worker in the world that's like, okay, kids, here's how you do it. You want to clutch it with both arms and say, mine! You don't have to teach kids that, do you? You don't have to teach a kid to go to another kid and grab something out of their arms and say, mine! You don't have to teach them that. No, that's in our nature. What you have to do is to teach them to share. No, now let's share. Let's take turns, right? And we don't get any better as we get older. We want what we want. And so our heart is not always to give, but God changes our heart. He gives us a new heart, a heart that's patterned after his own heart and is to be a reflection of his heart. And so God wants us to give, and God loves a cheerful giver. Now in 2 Corinthians 9, I think you guys have been studying this out here in Sunday school too, this big love offering, if you will, that the churches were gathering up. There was a famine going on back at Jerusalem. People were starving to death. Paul and the others had been working to get all the churches and all these other places to gather up an offering to send back to the saints who were suffering back in Jerusalem. And so they're gathering that up. And he says, listen, as you purpose in your heart, give. As you purpose in your heart, give. Have a heart to give. And don't do it because you feel like you have to. Do it with a happy heart, a glad heart. Because God is able to make all grace abound toward you so that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every or all good works. What does that mean? It means that God's going to take care of you. You can follow Jesus' command to be ready to give. When anybody needs something, you can give to them. You can help them. You can provide for them because you can trust that God's going to provide for you. I just wonder this afternoon, has anybody ever experienced that? When you went out of your way to help somebody, maybe when you weren't really in a great position to help somebody, but you did it because you love them, because you felt like that's what God wanted you to do, and yet somehow God took care of you anyway. You've seen it, haven't you? God will always take care of you. What God wants us to do is be a blessing to others. A long time ago, some of the early church leaders wrote in something, a writing called Divine Institutes. It says this: it is the part of justice not to return evil for evil, but to heal by benefits. What that means is, by benefits means to do good. So you don't return evil for evil, but instead of repaying evil for evil, you heal people, you help people, you are good to other people by doing good to them. And that's how you deal with evil. That's how you heal evil. That's how you help people. So what do we need to do? Practical steps. Number one, choose patience over retaliation. It's in our nature to react negatively. If somebody's mean to us, we want to be mean back. Somebody's hateful, we want to be hateful back. I told you earlier this morning, Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man defers his anger, and it is his glory to pass over transgression. The Proverbs teaches us that if you can control your anger and your temper, you're better than somebody who can conquer a city. If you can control your own temper, if you can control your anger, that's better than a mighty man. So choose patience over retaliation. We were on the Impact mission trip this summer and just meeting other Christians from other places. I remember one of the guys was talking about just trying to train their kids up to deal with bad situations. He said, we always teach them to stop, breathe, and pray. And I think that's great advice, like all the time. Let's see. How many of you got frustrated at work last week? Can I just see your hands? Anybody get frustrated at work? Okay. What about at home? Anybody get frustrated at home last week? Okay. Some of you have to have other people's. Anybody get frustrated with yourself last week? Like, I don't even need anybody else. Okay. Yeah, you get frustrated with yourself. You get frustrated with the people you live with. You get frustrated with the people you work with. We get frustrated with people that we're part of a church with. We can get frustrated with all kinds of people. And it's great advice to just stop. Just stop. Breathe. And pray. And you would be amazed, and I would be amazed at how much it would change so many situations if we would just stop, breathe, and pray. Be patient. Don't seek retaliation. Turn the other cheek. Number two, respond with generosity. Philippians 2, verses 4 and 5 are some of the most critical verses for the church today. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was in the mind of Christ Jesus? He was in the form of God, but he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Remember, he became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus laid down his life, and he gave. John 3:16 says what? Anybody? For God so loved the world that he gave. And that's our heart, to give. Respond with generosity. So number one, choose patience over retaliation. Number two, respond with generosity. Number three, we need to reflect Christ in our responses. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Saith the Lord. It's meekness. Meekness means power under control. I was telling the kids the other day about a video I saw. I mean, I don't know if you guys ever catch these videos coming through your stream, but you ever see the, like, videos where people are getting in fights and crazy stuff like that in public? I'm sure Waffle House comes to mind. I don't know. But there was a video, and in the video, I don't know what it is. It's just a baseball game, and this guy is standing on top of the steps, and he is just screaming. And just to be honest, he's just cussing this other guy like a dog. But the caption on the video said, you never know who you're going to run up against. And the guy that he's screaming at is a professional boxer. I can't even remember the guy's name, but you just know, like, professional boxers have the ability to knock you out cold before you even know what happened. Like, you're going to wake up in a few minutes and you don't even know what happened. But what's awesome about it is the professional boxer has this guy screaming and spitting in his face, and he just walks away. He just walks away. He has the power. He has the ability to clean the glass clock, but he doesn't do that. Why? Because it's power under control. You know, the most dangerous people on the planet are the people who never get into fights. You know why? Because they have nothing to prove. Nothing to prove. You and I, whatever we think our position or the reason we shouldn't have to take anything, whatever that is that's in us, it's a lie. Jesus had all power. And when he was reviled, he reviled not again. He had all power. I always think about that. He says, I could call the angels. I suppose that was for their benefit, because he didn't need angels. Right? He had all power. And yet he laid down his life. So what we need to do, friends, is lay down our life. A.W. Tozer said, the meek man is not a human mouse afflicted with a sense of inferiority. He may be bold as a lion, but he has stopped being fooled about himself. I'll read that one more time. A.W. Tozer said, the meek man is not a human mouse afflicted with a sense of inferiority. He may be bold as a lion, but he has stopped being fooled about himself. I need to know who I am, but I need to know who I am in Christ. What that means is I need to obey him, die to myself, love other people more than I love myself. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the time in your word. I pray that you give us wisdom and a right heart. And Lord, as we continue to walk through the Sermon on the Mount, that we would learn, that we would grow, and that it would change us. We're so far from being like our Savior. I pray that your word would make that so evident in our hearts and minds. You convict us and help us to be quick to repent, and that you would work in our hearts and minds and help us to meditate on your word, be changed by your word, conform to the image of Christ as we see you in the scriptures. Thank you for your amazing love for us. Thank you for how you displayed everything in your life and death, resurrection, that you call for us to be in our lives. You lived it, you embodied it, and I pray that you'll help us to follow you by the power of your Spirit. Please forgive our sins and help us, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.